Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
G&D on the Fan. Kick off your future with the law firm of Condori and Murad, the official Grant and Danny show sponsor. They'll help protect your assets, update your will and trust, schedule a free estate planning strategy with one of their Fairfax-based attorneys. Visit kmlawyers.com. Mention the show to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. The Cleveland Guardians are playing a game at 5:10 today against the White Sox. But pregame was ongoing, BP and some things on the field. And basically everybody just kind of stopped what they were doing. Cleveland was one of the places that was considered in the
path be darker, yeah,
of totality. And some videos that are coming out from the ballpark are actually awesome. We're on the big screen. They put up, you know, a zoomed in version of the eclipse for people to watch. And then it got to be like nighttime at 3:15 or so. That was kind of more of what I was expecting. So maybe if you were in that path in one of those major cities of totality, maybe that's a little more.
I saw a picture from Dallas where it was almost pitch black.
Yeah. Looking out the window here, it kind of looked like if I didn't know there was an eclipse, I wouldn't have known anything was going on, because it's fairly frequent that with inclement weather or something, it gets a little bit.
Yeah, we get some cloud cover. Yeah.
But that looked very, very cool. So some of those videos are coming out from different sports venues around the country. Right now, caller number 10 at 800-636-1067. Congrats, you're winning a four-pack to a VIP match of tickets to Old Glory DC Rugby Saturday, April 20th against Houston. Your tickets are complete with an Old Glory player ambassador by your side who's going to break down the game for you and your crew in real time, plus complimentary in-seat pizza delivery courtesy of Paisanos. That's pretty damn cool.
That's pretty amazing.
So you're going with a rugby expert who used to play in the league, and they're feeding you at your seats. It's a damn good prize. You're a rugby fan. Caller number 10. Enjoy yourself right now at 800-636-1067. It is time for our Beltway Blitz. Got to start with the Caps, who have lost six in a row. They did get a loser's point against Ottawa yesterday, but it felt like just a devastating blow to their playoff chances to not get a pair of points. Steve Wino of the Associated Press joins us now. Swino, 2 points out of a possible 12 here in these six straight losses. They're still only 1 point back. They're playing the Red Wings tomorrow, so they're not dead yet, but man, did yesterday feel like a tough one for them.
No, GP, that was a bad one. And even when they lost the Coyotes right before the trade deadline, it felt like their chances were pretty bad. And then you lose this game to the Senators after blowing the lead against Carolina, and it's like, it's going to be an uphill climb now. The fact that they've lost six in a row and are still in the playoff race is kind of amazing, but this is a team now, talking to Dylan Strome and Tom Wilson this morning, that they're thankful to still be in the race and feeling like if they can win one game, and this is a pretty important game tomorrow, that they can turn things around and at least stay in it in case the Islanders or the Red Wings or the Penguins fall apart.
Yeah, Swanee, when they had, I think it was like a 5-14 stretch from December into January, this seemed like a pipe dream. Just didn't even be in contention. So how they've gotten here, I think, matters to a lot of folks. But big picture, if you told me back in training camp, yeah, this is a fringe playoff team that's fighting for a chance at making the last spot, I'd kind of go, yeah, that about fits. Now, how we got here has been kind of an adventure with some of the roller coaster rides and trading some pieces away. But overall, I got to say, I'm not as disappointed as maybe some folks are. Your thoughts?
No, I mean, I understand, Danny, that, like, that it's been a fun ride. Like, the last month has been fun to watch this team play like this, Charlie Lindgren and all of that. But, I mean, I've talked to you guys about this a couple weeks ago when you're like, how can this fall apart? And it was Charlie Lindgren's probably played a lot of games, over the most games he's ever played in an NHL career. But he had to do that to get them in this race. And this team had to play so hard just to get into the race from the trade deadline to now, that it feels like they're a little bit out of gas, and just that they've tried so hard. It's not that they don't care. It's that they're trying so much that even Dylan Strome said today, we're squeezing our sticks a little tight right now. And if, look, if this team somehow pulls off a miracle and wins out, or wins four or five and makes the playoffs, even if they get swept in the first round or lose in five games, it's been a really fun ride. But the most important thing long-term is Hendrix LaPierre, Alex Alexiev, Connor McMichael, young players are playing meaningful games in March and April, which is really going to help down the road.
Yeah, it's going to help them for a long time as they build this thing up. Alex Ovechkin's going to score 30 goals this year, it looks like. He's at 29 right now. I remember when we had you on and we were doing some math and we were talking about, you know, what happens if he only scores 14 to 18 goals or whatever it was. And then he's been on basically a 55-goal pace over the last 30 games or so. He's going to do this thing. We are back to now maybe thinking he could do it next season if he has a big year.
Yeah, at least into the following season at the very least. But yeah, Grant, like the fact that he has gone on in this tear since the All-Star break, since getting a chance to see his family in Dubai and take a little bit of time off and just a bunch of things going right for him. We're talking about the Gretzky record again. And you said this, they had the same conversation in November. There was unlikely. The math was getting really hard for Alex Ovechkin to be able to approach this record that is insane that he's able to get there anyway. And we may be talking about Austin Matthews doing this in 10, 15 years too. But yeah, and he's back on pace where he's scoring goals the way we're used to, but no one in NHL history has ever scored this amount of goals at 37, 38. And he's going to be 39 years old next year. This is just unheard of.
So, Swan, I was even thinking about this in addition to that. I think we'd be there right now if it weren't for lockouts and COVIDs and a couple of injuries and some suspensions that were a little bit shaky. Like, we'd be knocking on the door this week if it weren't for some things that were totally out of his control, especially taking away some prime years.
It's quite amazing that, even if you say the first lockout, the 0405 lockout after he was drafted, was always going to happen. He may not have come over from Russia at the time. Still, you had the 2012-13 lockout, which was a shortened season down to 48 games. You had the pandemic season that was shortened. Even the one after that was a shortened season. Yes, he has been kind of robbed of a lot of chances to score goals over his career, to the point where this is amazing that he's approaching this, that he's close to this, that he's at, I don't think, whatever, 850, 851 goals, and we might be able to do this late next year or some point in the 25-26 season. This is crazy, but it shows just what he has done throughout his career and how durable he's been as a power forward, as someone who throws his body around and as a physical player. He's not a dainty, soft player in any way. To be able to do that and to avoid a lot of the soft tissue and injuries and things over the years and play so many games is impressive.
Thank you, as always, Swino. We appreciate you, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
Massive game tomorrow. Caps, Red Wings separated by a point for that final wild card spot. Let's cover the baseball club and a Beltway Blitz debut.
Here we go.
Spencer Nussbaum.
Boy, Spence.
Who's covering the Washington Nationals now, out every single day at the ballpark, and was there for the big news of the weekend that Steven Strasburg is indeed retiring. What did you make, Spencer, as you guys started to hear that trickle out that an agreement had been reached and that the team started issuing the statements and eventually Rizzo spoke?
Yeah, that was quite a whirlwind. We didn't know exactly what day it was going to come. We had heard that there should be something coming at some point this week. Obviously, it dropped kind of right after the game. It was a big whirlwind. We didn't even know until after we were done talking with the players that day. So I had to talk with some players yesterday about it. And obviously, guys like Corbin, Doolittle, shared a bunch of their thoughts. So even though the team hasn't, officially honored him at the ballpark yet, Got to talk to some players yesterday about kind of that whole situation.
Speaking of some of the players, CJ Abrams banged up over the weekend. What's the latest with him? When's he coming back?
Yeah, so Davey yesterday said that that was day-to-day. It's still with kind of that left pinky that came when he was trying to stretch a single into a double the other day, kind of jammed it up on the base, and was able to finish out that game. But should be at some point in the next couple of days. You know, Davey said his concern level might grow if it continues to persist. But I think they're just trying to be careful since it's so early in the season at this point.
Spencer Nussbaum of the Washington Post covers the Nationals. Two starts in, Mackenzie Gore looks pretty good. How did you feel about his outing yesterday? Pitched into the sixth, couple of runs, six strikeouts.
Yeah, man, Mackenzie, I mean, in terms of guys with the highest ceiling on the Nats, I think that that would be him. He's had such a strong start to the year. I know the results are you know, what they are, but, you know, he was really good the other day. Under the hood, looks really good. You know, his fastball is up to averaging about 97. His slider's been touching 93 at points. We knew that the stuff was nasty, and we knew that the misses had to get smaller this year. The stuff is nastier. The misses at times are still kind of dwindling away from the plate, but I think he's someone that, at least if I were to place a bet on who's going to be the Nats All-Star this year, I'd bet on him. He's looked really good through two games.
Flip side, Spencer, Josiah Gray, only a couple starts, but giving up a couple touchdowns on average, 14.04 ERA through two starts here for him. It hasn't been there.
No, it has not. You know, Josiah is someone where, again, I think if you look at the results kind of under the hood last year, you know, there were some luck involved in kind of that All-Star appearance, but he was better last year. He will be better this year. A lot of it is just the command. The ball is kind of sailing, you know, arm side away from him. And I think that's something that he's going to get under control. You know, Davey talks a lot about how Josiah has seven pitches and maybe shouldn't have that many. I'm kind of wary of him having all those pitches and not really being able to refine some of the ones in the top end. But I think if he starts to command his fastball in the zone a little bit better, which he showed at points last year, I think, you know, that ERA will start getting closer to, you know, maybe the low fours in the next few weeks.
A little over 5 hours from now, the Nats start a road trip out in San Francisco. Trevor Williams gets the start. Blake Snell gets the ball for San Fran. What do you expect not only in this game but on this trip for Washington?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a tough start to go against the reigning NL Cy Young and have Trevor Williams, who looked good in his first start but, again, has been spotty at times and was not fantastic last year. In terms of what I expect out of this road trip, again, I think the big eye is going to be on, you know, CJ and whether that pinky continues to bother him. Lane Thomas, again, has been swinging the bat a little bit better. I think the big thing with the Nationals is seeing how those guys at the top of the order come through. You know, Jesse Winker's had a good start to the year. Joey Gallo's bat has been hot recently. So I think the pitching is what it is. I think you're going to get good starts out of Josiah, McKenzie. I think Jake Irvin's been strong, but I really think that the Nats bats at the top of the order really have to start hitting at the same time, because it's been, you know, if CJ will be on a game and Lane will be off, or Gallo will have a great game, but, you know, maybe Louie will have an off game. So just seeing how those bats kind of really shape up, because I think that that's kind of a big key for the Nats here in this next road trip.
Spencer, I was really hoping your last name was Nussbaum as a journalist. I think that would play, but it's yeah. Nussbaum. I'm saying that right?
You are, but I will take Nussbaum, because that one seems to fit the professional.
Well, like a sound of like Nussbaum, yeah, you know, then you just deliver a report.
Time yeah. with Spencer. Yeah. Thank you for the time.
That's right. Of course, thank you.
Appreciate you, buddy. Hit that local 53 sounder, Darius. 10 to 2, 910, the fan, our pal Miguel Phillips. You know him as Michael Phillips. Michael P. in RVA joins us to talk about that local football team. Okay, Miguel, looking at the draft, looking at all their different options, right? The most important thing they do besides quarterback is?
Well, I think you got to say left tackle, right? It's hard to, you know, they have other needs. Love to see them get a quality corner. You know, certainly every position on the defense aside from tackle really could use a quality player. Edge rusher, they certainly have a need there. That's why I'm really intrigued by those two at the start of the second round, right? I think the dream is package it up, get back in the first round, get a really great left tackle. If you don't, though, one of those two picks is going to be an offensive lineman. That feels like a lock. Which one do you use on the other? I think there's room for debate afterward, but I'm not prepared to entertain debate that quality left tackle is really high on the list.
Who do you think they're taking it to, and who would you take it to?
I would take Jaden Daniels at two. I mean, you look at the way he can win games, right? He is what everybody's striving for right now in the NFL, which is a dynamic guy who can lift the team, can make plays when there aren't plays to be made, has that excitement factor. And you know what? This is bad radio, I know. I've told my audience this in Richmond, too. I'd like it if they take Drake May too. Like, I'm not gonna stand on, like, only one of these guys is a good NFL quarterback. The reality of the situation, you both know this, is statistically speaking, quarterbacks are more likely to fail than succeed. No, you know, even if you take them this high up, there's no one right answer here. Jaden Daniels is my answer. I like him a lot. I think he's everything you're looking for right now in an NFL quarterback. Brings that excitement to the team. Brings that playmaking to the team. I think they will take him. The only prediction I feel comfortable making right now is that they will turn in the card at two for a quarterback. I really don't have a feel on the pulse of the building, and I think that's very much intentional and by design.
Speaking of the building, Michael, you covered the team for a long time. You're in and around the facilities. You know a thing or three. The thing that I've kind of beat the drum on that is away from most fans' eyes, and who, you know, will tune in on Sunday, maybe read an article, maybe listen to us on the radio, et cetera. But for the most part, it's like they just want the team to win. The unsexy stuff is what they just are starting to do now, right? Expanding training facilities, having more bodies in there that are, you know, dedicated to getting guys healthy and staying healthy and getting healthy quicker, et cetera. This stuff doesn't make headlines. It'll be a blip on the radar. But that, to me, is the important stuff and how sorely it was lacking under the previous regime.
Yeah, and, you know, there are shortcuts to victory, right? They involve hard work. One of the shortcuts is to have a great quarterback. You hope you do that. The other shortcut is to have a place people want to play. For a long time, Bill Belichick had that in New England. Come here, win a ring. Guys would take discounts to play there. That is San Francisco right now. Cleveland Farrell, who followed these guys, the San Francisco crew, over to D.C. this year, he took a pay cut to play in San Francisco last year. Knew that would be good for his career, good for his development. And now, obviously, he's playing in Washington. He's following Adam Peters out here. These are the things that make you have places people want to be, right? You need to invest in the facilities, invest in everybody's happiness. That's why part of coming back to D.C. for the Wizards, it was so important to have a practice facility bundled in. Guys don't like that practice facility. If you think that doesn't matter, call around when it's time for free agency in the NBA. They'll tell you these things matter a lot. And word had gotten out, this was not a good place to play. You got to fix that, because then you can do even better spending and even wiser spending in free agency.
Michael, it is good to hear your voice again, my friend. We will catch up soon.
I'll look forward to it.
Michael Phillips, check him out in Richmond on our Odyssey station. We're actually broadcasting live on down there right now, AM 910 and FM 105.1. Speaking of the Commanders and the NFL draft, everybody seems to know that they need a quarterback and a left tackle. What else do they need? Let's look at some of their overlooked areas where they've got to get better next on G&D. G&D on the Fan, welcome back, and thank you for making the show part of your day on this Monday. We're taking you up to 6:30. I was telling you, Danny, so last night I'd gotten home from the Defenders game, watched the end of the Caps game. Great day all day long. Nats, right into the Defenders, mm-hmm. and watching the Caps.
Did you go to the Nats game, too?
No, I did not go to the Nats game. It was a one-off for your boy.
Yeah, the kids, man. You can't drag the toddlers through that.
It's a couple hours.
Yeah.
We barely got through the Defenders,
mm-hmm.
right? But I get home, and I'm watching WrestleMania. Incredible final match, right? You got Cody Rhodes trying to finish his story against Roman Reigns.
Why does everyone keep saying that, the story thing?
That was the build-up,
the
mantra.
That's the hook, okay.
So his father, obviously,
Dusty Rhodes,
iconic and mm-hmm. legendary, never got a strap. Cody Rhodes' story in the arc in WWE, he was there, he was gone, he was there, he was gone. At one point, he left to go create his own wrestling venture, basically. He's been at odds with the company. Company now run by Triple H. He was in the locker room with at one point, comes back, and now he's got a chance to headline. And he's main evented before, but he's never been the main event where he's the guy that wins, right? So he's finishing his story last night. I'm not a big Roman Reigns guy. Now, I should point out again, on a scale of Danny to Chris Russell, who was at WrestleMania last
night. Right,
he
was late today for his show because he was there last night.
I'm probably smack dab in the middle.
Okay.
Right? Like, you say you're not a wrestling guy and you have zero interest.
Correct.
I say I'm not a wrestling guy, which I think is fair and true, except that when it's in D.C., I'll take my kid to an event maybe, or I might get on the app and watch like a 95 Royal Rumble. There's a nostalgia to it because when I was a kid, I was all in. I don't know about you. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I don't know that you ever watched like Monday Night Raw.
Oh, yeah.
Ever.
Dude,
you
it was
did.
Huge.
Okay. So, yeah. So when I was in late elementary school, early middle school, Attitude Era WWF,
mm-hmm.
The Rock, Stone Cold, Mankind, Generation X, like it was the best.
Well, we were flipping between, you know, whatever match was better, whatever storyline was better between that and Nitro. I mean, you know, Hulk Hogan's doing bits and Goldberg never lost. And
Goldberg's arc got me a little bit into WCW and NWO with Hogan, mm-hmm. clearly like everybody else. But I was never a WCW guy. Like, you had to be a little older than me to mm-hmm. care about WCW because WWF crushed them so much my childhood mm-hmm. that basically they were just pulling all the best from WCW over. And the only guys that stayed just hated Vince McMahon and had real issues with him, basically. But when I was a kid, like, that's what you talked about at school every Tuesday. You go in, and it was last night's match. Which, speaking of which, I went back and watched just a random, because I watched the first of two nights. Now, WrestleMania is two nights. They do Saturday, 4 hours, Sunday, 4 hours. Way excessive over-the-top amounts of content, but they made it all very good, so good for them. But after I watched the final hour and a half or so of WrestleMania on Saturday night, the bug was biting me a little bit. I was itching for a little wrestling. So I went back and I just said, what was the era where I was all in? And on the Peacock app, they've got everything. So mm-hmm. I went back and picked a WWE Raw from when I was like 11 years old. And it was just winter, about a month before Christmas, like 11-year-old me watching Raw on a Monday night. My God, has the world changed a little bit. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I mean, the amount of things that were cancelable and terrible, and by today's standards, just forget like inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Just jaw again. I mean, I was watching this
yes.
as an 11-year-old. Like, this what is, are we doing
this
here?
This was allowed?
So it's crazy to think about now, but it's a whole different world. So I bring all this up to tell you that last night's final match of WrestleMania, Cody Rhodes, Roman Reigns, was probably the craziest 10 minutes of wrestling I've ever seen in my life. For people that don't care, I'll make this short and sweet. But, Danny, they had this match where, based on the night before, Cody Rhodes is set up as if he's going to lose because they're doing it now, what they call, the rules were against him, bloodline rules, okay? Meaning they were going to allow basically him to be demolished by all of Roman Reigns' minions the whole match long. So they're coming out one at a time. Any chance he gets the upper hand, they're beating up on him pretty good. John Cena, out of nowhere, comes running down to the ring. The Rock, who's back for this very short run for WrestleMania, comes down to the ring. The Undertaker chime hits. The whole building goes dark. Everyone's losing their minds. I still think that's the greatest pop. Maybe the only one better would be Stone Cold's
the glass breaking.
Glass. But that first note WWE moment of psh, and everyone just going nuts. The Rock, back in the day, went, if you smell, right there, uh-huh. everyone would go crazy. But the one that has always gotten you
boom.
Is boom, and then the lights go out.
Mm-hmm.
So the Rock's in the ring, and here comes Taker. Choke slams him. That's it.
That's
boom,
it.
Right there. Just one after another. Boom, boom, boom. And all I could think about was Triple H sitting at gorilla position, back behind the scenes, you know, just his Mona Lisa. Like, this guy is the maestro. You know, he is... Who did Brad Cooper just play as the composer?
I don't know the name, but I was going to say the maestro. Yeah, he's the conductor.
World famous conductor. That
Steve the conductor.
No, it nope. was just a movie. Levice, I don't know, something.
Ceviche.
No, it's nope. not that. But Vince could never. Triple H
Stop
is
it.
Take. I'm telling you, Vince could never.
Stop it.
He wasn't liked enough. I think people want to come back to work with Triple H right now. I think the era has... It's all just taking off. It's like wrestling empowered. We talk about this with other sports, with player empowerment. He was a player, so he gets it. But I think you're seeing more people opting in and coming back and being interested. They love the guy. And was that a work or a shoot last night after Cody wins that he's calling Triple H out to, like, take a bow after WrestleMania? I mean, I would imagine that was, like, him, because he grabbed the mic after his big win, and it's, like, 10 minutes afterwards, but they haven't gone dark yet. And he's like, I want to call two people out from the back. One donk I'd never heard of who probably runs everything. And then Triple H. And I think he was, like, off script. I think he was just like, you know, I want you to come out and get up, take a bow. This was amazing night for wrestling.
For a guy that's not a wrestling guy, there was a lot of wrestling guy in that little soliloquy right there. You think it's a work or a shoot? Because he comes back there, gets this one guy with a pop. And, dude, wrestling Mark over there.
No.
You are Mark, a Mark, and the Fun Bunch.
I don't think so.
Funky Bunch?
I'll be back out. I might have one eye on Raw tonight for a couple of minutes just to see what's what. Maybe just a little.
That's a wrestling guy right there.
But I am a grown-up, and I try not to eat my boogers, so I can't watch more than a few minutes tonight, as you know. That's the way that works.
Mm.
But, yeah, it was a hell of a show last night. Nothing for you? You didn't care at all?
I didn't know it was happening.
Yeah.
I mean,
what if your kids got into it?
I'd take them.
I think that would help.
Yeah, sure. I would take them to something.
Would you be psyched to watch a little bit?
No. I can't anymore. And I'm not doing the thing where I'm not like cowherding it where it's like, if you like it, you're stupid. I'm not at all.
No, that's his line. If you like wrestling, you eat your boogers.
Yeah, it's something like that.
It's a cowherd line.
I'm not doing that. I just don't care. It's not for me. Like, I don't know when that happened that it turned. I mean, because I was there in the year 2000. In the year 2000. Backlash. Then I think it was MCI Center. Could have been Verizon. I don't remember. They changed the name all the time, but it had something to do with phones. The Rock and Triple H. It was the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life.
It's good stuff.
Stone Cold, like The Rock was like, the Rock says this, Stone Cold Steve Austin will be back in the building tonight. And that was after Stone Cold had hurt himself.
Get me Seth Rollins' intro song. By the way, it's fire. Here's something that I realized. So I went to Raw several weeks back. Slash at Rainey hooked me with tickets to take my boy. And I went, and we had good seats. It was very, very cool. But what I realized, because that night was the beginning of the buildup, I think, to WrestleMania. It was like one at a time they came down. This was right before the Rumble, I think, or maybe right after the Rumble. And so Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes and all these guys came down. But the music is key. But Rollins has it. Play it for me. Rollins has this song now where everybody, like, basically with the music, the whole crowd, he gets this nice pop where it's like, and the whole house is doing it. It gets me fired up. I get psyched. Yeah. I think Danny Huhey could have a little bit left in him.
No, it's right, it's here. Long gone.
Oh, and it's 50,000 strong.
Right here. Now, what you can't see me doing is hitting the up or down on the channel button on my imaginary remote. No interest anymore. Like, I don't know when it quit entirely, but it wasn't long after the year 2000. Okay. Once I got out of school, I think it just, I was like, I'm not doing this anymore.
Am I wrong there? So that song, it gets me where everyone's going, oh.
It's quite incredible. It's that great. And Cody Rhodes has a portion of his song where the crowd pops.
Yes,
and does
exactly.
The same
Let
thing.
Me hear, yeah. Cody Rhodes as well. Now, this is Cody Rhodes. He is the American Nightmare. I don't know why he's the Nightmare, by the way, because he's a baby face. He couldn't be more of a face. So the idea of a Nightmare is, Rainey, what do you got on that? Hold on, you're not on. There you go.
His dad was the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes.
Okay, but why does he got to be Nightmare?
I can't hear you.
Dream, opposite of Nightmare, playing off
I understand,
of it.
But the point is he's babyface.
Fine by
it's
me.
Not a Nightmare about a babyface. He comes out and everyone goes, yay!
I don't know, man.
It's just not a Nightmare. let me hear his. He's got a banger song as well when you get it. But so if you're watching last night, all right, and here's the difference between you and I would say. I get psyched for like a good pump-up montage. If I watch a 24-7 before a boxing match, I'm now into the boxing match and I might order. Because I see this guy and his family and the training. I don't think you get suckered in by that.
Not at all.
So if you're watching last night, music hits and Cena comes running down. This is so good. Nothing. No emotion.
None.
Then The Rock comes out. If you smell, Final Boss Man, he's coming.
I'm like,
down.
That's crazy. The Rock is there. I thought Rock was in movies.
Undertaker, dong. Noom. Still not any emotion. Nothing
None.
For you.
It's over with.
So then maybe I can't say that I don't care about wrestling at all.
Because you do.
Like, right here. Give me that again, Darius.
If it can move you to emotion.
Go back a little bit and fire that back up. This. The whole crowd behind him.
You know what it sounds like? That song just, it sounds like when you're like driving on a long road trip. Okay. And you hear like, this is a rock and roll tune. And I don't really know. What is it? Then you listen to the words and it's actually like Christian rock. Like it sounds like a version of rock and roll where it's like, he saves us all. And I'm like, oh, all right. Wait a minute. But it's not, but that's what it sounds like. Because they can't use any like real music.
So you'll confidently say right now, you'll never watch 2 minutes of wrestling again for the rest of your life.
No, I can't. If my kids are into it, I would.
Okay.
Yeah, but I just, this is the difference between you and I. Like, not even the difference. But a lot of people think if I'm not interested in something, it means I actively hate it. I'm not like yelling at people for watching it. I'm not like screaming at you or telling you you're stupid or like rooting against something. If it's not in my field of caring, I just can't. It's okay. A weakness. Like, I don't muster any interest.
Did
you know?
Watch any of Iowa women's basketball?
Zero.
Caitlin Clark in the tournament?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Mm-mm.
So, like, I watched that because similarly, same as Cody Rhodes, mm-hmm. and is he going to finish his story? I don't care that much about Cody Rhodes. But then I'm watching it, and I'm, like, emotional as this guy's getting lifted
on. Look, he did it, man.
I really was.
He did it.
He's getting lifted on Sami Zayn's shoulders. I don't care about Sami Zayn. They're carrying him out. He's a jolly good
fella. Look after everything Cody went through, man. He did it.
I went up and woke up my wife just as a bit, to be honest with you.
Did you really?
Dead serious.
Did you really?
I swear to God.
Can you imagine
when I went to bed?
Sleeping?
When I went to bed, she was sound asleep, and I tapped her, and I said, Cody finished his story.
Cody did it, boo.
Just like that.
Hey, hun. Listen, Cody did it.
And my wife was like, you're kidding. And I was like, no, he finished his story. Because she was, what is she going to do? She's sound asleep.
She's going, really? Okay.
But I did. 100% true story. Dead asleep. I go up. I lay next to her in bed. I grab her by the shoulder. She kind of like, what? And I said, Cody finished the story.
Like I can't remember which NCAA game was second on Saturday night for the dudes. Was the UConn game, were they second?
Yes.
Were they first? So my wife was really tired. She went to bed before the ending of the UConn game, right? And it was close with Alabama. They were nip and tuck. And then of course UConn went on the run because that's what UConn does. I didn't wake my wife up for that. You see what I'm saying? She was watching it. She was interested. I waited until the next morning and be like, yeah, UConn finished their story. You woke your wife up to tell her that Cody Rhodes in the made-up TV event.
He finished his story. He did. I'll even give you one. This is going to sound terrible.
Oh,
this
man.
Is bad.
Here we go.
Because Enoch just tweeted me, a listener who said, the greatest part of this segment is Grant trying to convince the listeners and himself that he's not a mark.
Yeah, as a mark.
So, but I should not even admit this. But here we are.
Go ahead, Mark Pryor.
After WrestleMania ended last night, it was like 11 o'clock, okay? Took forever for Cody to leave the ring.
Sure, you got to finish that story. It takes a minute, yeah.
Carried up the runway, right?
Yeah.
You know what I did next?
No.
I got on WWE's YouTube page, and I watched the press conferences for an hour and a half.
No!
Swear to you. I watched Bayley's
presser. Here we go.
I watched Damian Priest's presser. I don't even know who the hell that is. I watched Cody Rhodes emotional talking about his father and the watch that Triple H gave him with not Tony Khan, but the other Khan who runs WWE.
Shad Khan?
No, it's a third Khan. It's another
James Khan?
No. And then I watched Triple H's press conference. So he comes out with his sheet. He's like, we did 147,000 people last 2 days. Want to thank C4 or Energy Drink. They're coming back for SummerSlam. I watched the entire press conference.
You ever think about doing like a wrestling podcast with Tom Daly?
No. I love Tom, but I'm not a mark. I'm just not a mark. So I can't do that. But that was a good.
Oh, I'm crying.
That was a hell of an event last night. Street Profits should have been in the final.
Watch the press conference.
It should have been there. Grant and Danny on the Fan. So I'm looking at a video here of John Calipari walking his dog today and declining to answer a question about whether or not he's leaving Kentucky for Arkansas, which, by the way, he's leaving Kentucky for Arkansas.
It's wild, man.
John Calipari, dude. We went from, like, a month ago, John Calipari will be at Kentucky forever. He's John Calipari. It's Kentucky. To they get bounced again. He's sticking with his plan to just run out the freshman. You can't win that way anymore. Everyone in Kentucky, big basketball fans and boosters, is angry. And he's headed to Arkansas. But a reporter, like, walks up to him in this video. I'm going to actually put this in the chat and see if you can grab it. The audio might not be great there, but see how it sounds. And walks up to him and is basically like, hey, man, are you going to Arkansas? Do you have any comment on that? And he's like, no, I'm walking my dog. But he's got a stroller.
Which is strange.
He's pushing a stroller, and then there's a little dog next to it, and it's a dog stroller.
Yeah.
So I guess when his dog gets tired, he just picks up his little dog and he puts it in there?
Yeah, like real regular-sized dogs don't need that, but little tiny ones sometimes do.
I'm out on dog strollers.
Same.
I don't think anyone should be pushing dog strollers.
That is correct.
Right?
Yeah. So it was always dubbed as this lifetime contract. It was. It was a 10-year deal worth almost $90 million. It's not, you know, NCAA college a football coach money, but it's real close. It's the smallest step down that you can have, right, at an institution. So, you know, it's almost 40 first-round picks in his tenure at Kentucky, talking about Calipari. The entire NBA is littered with really good guards from Kentucky and then the occasional Anthony Davis to kind of sprinkle that in. He's been wildly successful, except over the last handful of years in the tournament. As you said, NIL, the world has changed. It's no longer one-and-done freshmen that are doing it. It's transfers, it's 22-year-olds, it's guys with experience, it's transfer portal, and he hasn't updated his file. So Kentucky fans, which one of my best buddies is one, they hate his guts. They want the guy that was beloved, that they were going to name a street after. They want him gone. And here comes Arkansas swooping in. They want all the Calipari to get to that level of relevance where it's disappointing to lose in the first weekend of the tournament a couple of times. The whole thing is wild. It's like a soap opera.
Arkansas has had a good program, by the way. Eric Musselman was the head coach there. Now, he went out to USC.
Mm-hmm.
He's no longer there, but he'd gotten them into being, you know, tournament team and a respected program in that conference year in and year out. But so he leaves Kentucky, and then the idea is Nate Oates leaves Alabama to go there. Is that the rumor?
That's one of the things I've read. Now, my Kentucky buddy, who's my source on all these kinds of things, not a real source. I'm not reporting anything. But he was like, there's a lot of speculation on one of these Kentucky fan site or whatever's that Nate Oates' kids have already enrolled at like a Lexington school to transfer for the rest
of
the
year.
I'm sure,
by the way.
So who knows if that's true or not. But that's one of the old muddle scuts, as they say.
I just can't believe that this is how quickly this happens.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I think it is true that Calipari either has to change his ways or he's not going to win again. Certainly not with any consistency. You can't win national championships or compete routinely among the great college basketball teams in the country with a freshman dominated team. You just can't.
Not anymore.
In fact, I was telling you, so Friday I went out and I had lunch with and spoke to a bunch of basketball players at Fairfax Christian, which is out in Dulles. And I talked to their communications class. And just in talking to the coach there and in a couple of conversations with players, do you know how badly the transfer portal has screwed over high school basketball players?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it is insane.
Yep.
From a recruiting standpoint, how much the game has changed. Everyone, you know, was just, let's do everything differently in college and not ask any questions and make sure that the players can transfer whenever they want and do whatever they want, make whatever they want, and, you know, that'll be perfect. Okay. High school players now, they basically can kiss mid-major offers and D1 offers goodbye. Like, there are coaches that essentially tell the high school level people that they talk to, hey, I got to go recruit. We're bringing in transfer portal kids from all over the country. We're just not going to high school.
Yeah, there are 1,000 kids in the transfer portal.
Why on earth would I have a freshman play for me when I could get a sophomore or a junior to come play for me who was at Dayton last year or Northwestern or Alabama?
Yep.
You know, like, Alabama's backcourt was two guys that were from Power Five or like elite mid-major schools that just come in. And you just recruit guys who have college experience, who have played in big games collegiately, who are leveling up to come to your program. Why would you ever recruit a high school player again?
Yeah, I mean, look, yeah, you find someone that's exceptional, but that's the point.
But the top 100 guys, you know, the
exactly.
top-ish, right around, right, top 75, top 100 players.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, they can go. and they can get their offer in Kentucky, John Calipari.
Right.
But the, everybody else that just used to go to Mason or used to get D1 looks, no chance.
Right.
You're going D2, D3 now.
There have been, and this is the only point that I tried to make in general before all these sweeping changes happened, right? And again, this I was never on the side of the NCAA. They made everything miserable for everybody as someone that went through it, right? Like, they made it harder for all of us to do what all the things that we wanted to do or were trying to do, even in good faith. The NCAA can kick all the rocks. They're screwed. But everything I kind of always tried to say wasn't necessarily that players didn't deserve this or that, you know, the landscape wasn't dramatically unfair. It was the way you guys are about to do this. It's not Pandora's box. It's a field of Pandora's boxes. And you have no idea what the unintended consequences are going to be and how this is going to transform college sports, not necessarily for the better. Now, I will say the basketball for the NCAA tournament, I think, has been good. Right? Because you get more veteran teams, quote unquote. I mean, still talking about college kids, but that's kind of the new landscape. Guys are staying in college for longer. That was an objection. That was a pain in the butt for a while. When guys were only doing the one and dones, it didn't feel the same as it used to when we were growing up in the golden age, where it was a huge news story that Michael Jordan was going to forego his senior year. That's how different time was then. But these unintended consequences, to your point, where high school kids are getting squeezed out when they did nothing wrong. They just gotten themselves into a position that normally would get you a scholarship. The transfer portal, the NIL, all this stuff. It has been chaos. I don't know that it's made everything better.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan. Whatever you thought the ratings would be for yesterday's Iowa-South Carolina women's national title game, yes, again, they're bigger. They just came out. Let's get into that next on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.